Welcome to the Random Thoughts Podcast with your host, Dr. B. Hey guys, it's me, Dr. Chriselle Bonner. Today I wanted to talk to you about what I consider the social capitalism spectrum. Now, to put it in perspective, I think everything in life is a spectrum, from autism to sexuality to the ideal amount of mayonnaise on your sandwich. It all varies by person. So to be clear, I don't think capitalism is bad. Oh my God, did she just say that? No, I don't. I don't think capitalism is bad. I think American capitalism is bad. It is bad when you place profits over people, over the environment, over conservation. And it becomes an issue when people are so blinded by greed that they don't realize the downstream effects of said greed, of the damage to future generations. So I believe in a socio-capitalist society, one that makes money without compromising lives and the environment. And I don't think this is a pipe dream. I don't think it's impossible. I think if we all actually slow down and take a look at our budget or take a look at the decisions and the choices we're making, we can come to find that there are better choices that will not as negatively impact others or might positively do so. Maybe that 40 cents versus 60 cents in choice of container or what have you might not affect your, especially large corporations, right? Because their choices can affect smaller businesses and what smaller business can buy. So I'm not necessarily talking to smaller businesses, but larger corporations, the corporate overlords. And maybe the 40 cents, 50 cents, 60 cents per unit doesn't negatively impact your bottom line as much as you think you do. And maybe your CEO makes less this year by a few thousands, but maybe that saves some lives. Maybe that it positively impacts those, and it has a lot of great downstream effects, right? Because if you are focusing as a large corporation, or focusing on conserving, or focusing on the environment, or focusing on people, making sure your people are getting paid appropriate wages, looking at you, Amazon. Making sure your people are getting paid appropriate wages, making sure they're getting appropriate bathroom breaks, and also looking at what you are making and producing and creating and putting in society, well, then that can have a positive impact on smaller businesses that have to purchase what you are putting in society. And then they will then in turn have a more positive impact on the people that they are caring for. I don't think a lot of people will say, well, the money, that difference is going to go down to the person and the consumer. And guys, I've watched the Big Mac gone from $6 to $11 to some McDonald's meals like $15, and y'all are still buying it. So clearly we can make, and not much has changed. So we can make appropriate choices that will positively impact people. And even if there is a small generation increase, the people who want to pay for it will pay for it. For example, look at companies such as Just Salad and Sweetgreen. Although their salt levels are a bit concerning, looking at the Harvest Bowl and the earth-friendly salad for Sweetgreen and Just Salad respectively, they do make a point to use biodegradable containers, because they too realize that when companies focus on sustainability, environmental impact, and people, everybody wins. And what's sad is sometimes this profit wealth and mentality over people leaks into American politics. Now, I don't know how many people did this, and I might be of the minority, but I actually tried to read through Trump's 940-page big, beautiful bill, because in my head, I was like, not, there's no way that a group of people could be so blind and disconnected from society that they can't, basically it couldn't, I felt it couldn't all be bad. I was like, there has to be something I am missing. There has to be something that's just missing that I'm just not getting or does not compute, you know, like, I was like, there has to be something. So I tried to read through the big, beautiful bill because I felt somewhere in there was some positive impact, and there was, right? Thank you for decreasing artificial dyes in our food. But going through the bill itself, it felt so convoluted. It felt intentional. Instead of referencing the full changes that it was making, it would just, and I don't know if this is typical legalese, as I am not a lawyer, but it felt like I would have to pull up the bill in which it was referring to in order to go back to that section and see how the words added would change the meaning of the original paragraph. And I felt it would have been a lot easier and simple if they had just included what, it was already 940 pages, right? So including what those changes were and how the wording of the original document would be changed. And it made me think, well, if they're making it so convoluted and that you have to go back and reference this bill, because I'm pretty sure lawmakers don't have, you know, the acts from 08 memorized. I mean, you know, forgive me if you do, but so it felt as though it was a way to prevent people from actually going back and reading and referencing the changes they were making. And if that was done with intention, then it already feels nefarious. It already feels like we're in for a bad time. And I'm sure certain Democrats would be like, of course, yourselves, we're in for a bad time. Look at the cuts being made to Medicaid, SNAP, and other governmental assistance programs, and the people that are going to be detrimentally impacted, and the choice that was made to do this instead of taxing the top 1% or even the 0.1% in this country. And it's so sad because I think the problem, or one of the main problems, or one of many problems of the American political system, is that lawmakers seem to forget that unity brings strength. It's this focus on, well, I'm a Democrat and I'm a Republican, and sorry for the voices, guys, but there's such a focus on what side of the aisle you are on, and less so on what policies can I pass that will positively impact my constituents, right? Like, maybe your constituents are super, and I like to bring up abortion. I think I've already brought this up in a previous podcast, because I think abortion is one of those things that's very divisive, but maybe your constituents largely don't believe in abortion, fine, but they want healthcare. They want insurance. They want clean air. They want clean energy. Maybe they don't understand what that means, right? You tell them they don't want it, and so they think they don't want it. And that's the focus. You know, that's why you guys want to not have education be a thing, because it's easy to control people that are not educated. It's easy to control people and tell people that something's bad for them when they're not reading. That's why you're getting rid of books. That's why you are trying to trim things, because it's easier to control people who don't know they are being controlled. And that's clearly Tibu. Thank you, Kiki Palmer. That's where I'm getting that from. I'm feeling that song today. Anyways, I'm tangential and all over the place. But no, seriously, I think that's clearly it, right? You're getting rid of books. You're getting rid of all these things as a way to control, as a way to limit knowledge, right? And it's sad, but that's. And then you go and you change the law and you try to make it convoluted so that people aren't really closely paying attention, and they're not reading and they're not checking. So they don't know how much you are effing them until it's too late. And I'm looking at this bill and I'm thinking about all the people that are going to suffer and potentially die because you don't want to take more money out of your pockets because you're so focused on your own greed and your monetary wealth and less so on how your decisions can affect the lives and better the lives of the people in your community and your constituents, which is so messed up that you are so focused on your super PACs and your billionaire donors when in reality you were voted in to make the lives of these people better. That's why you hold your position. And if you keep on making decisions that are based on party lines and not based on what is best for your constituents and not what is best for the American people, you are going to get a rude awakening one day. And it's coming. And don't think I'm just coming for Republicans, because I don't think this is a Republican issue. This is a bipartisan issue. This is a problem with our Democratic representatives as well. The Democratic Party is so scared of change and also is in the pocket of super PACs. Can we be honest about that? Is also in the pocket of certain billionaires, right? They're just the same side, the different side to a same coin. And they're so scared of giving up power and holding on to their stronghold that they are starting to isolate candidates that are actually advocating for the betterment of people. Isolating candidates like Jasmine Crockett, Zohra Mamdani, trying to other them, right? Because that's what typically has worked with the American playbook. Tell them that the brown people are coming to take their jobs. Tell them that the brown people are communists, and sadly a lot of Americans don't even understand what communism is, but tell them that these people don't want what's best for them and they look different than you, so of course they don't want what you want. And sadly, when you then take away education and you take away a thought of unity and you isolate and you take away the sense and belief of a village instead, and a sense of a belief of a community, then people start to believe what they're being fed and start to believe that propaganda. And then they isolate candidates who are focused on the future and focusing on what's best for America, not necessarily the now, but what is best in the next persistent for the rest of time, right? Really just trying to bring our country forward out from the ice ages, bring us back to just even be equivalent to a lot of our global counterparts. The current administration, and not necessarily the administration, but our current government and lawmakers are so focused on what they think needs to happen, they're not hearing their constituents telling them that enough is enough. And the more you resist change, the more the pendulum will swing away once you have no power to hold it. This is the time to work together, to compromise, and to focus on the American people instead of focusing on collecting wealth. There has to be a way that we can focus on being fiscally responsible as well as benefiting and not taking away from our lower class and our middle class who are already suffering, who are already not financially where they need to be. And a lot of my fiscally responsible, or those who consider themselves more fiscally responsible, or Republican Party will argue that, well, our debt is high and we're trying to lower our debt and that's what this big bill is focused on. But if we were actually concerned about lowering America's overall debt, then our debt ceiling the bill wouldn't be adding trillions to that, right? It wouldn't. Not only is it taking away from those who need the assistance the most, their Medicaid, their SNAP, but they're also adding trillions to our debt ceiling. So who is this really benefiting? Now is not the time for tit for tat. Now is not the time for you to be like, oh, well, I'm a Republican, so I'm going to support this bill. Now is the time to be like, things have gotten really bad. If we continue, things are going to get worse. We are making the same silly decisions that our counterparts have made many years ago. Now is the time for us to sit down with people across the aisle and really look at the stats. Look at how many people our changes are affecting. Look at how much money this is actually saving, and look at other ways in which you can save money, right? Apart from taxing your super PAC friends, which is, I know, the biggest reason why there's hesitance towards that, but there's other ways, right? When I was in medical school, when we went on trips or went to a conference, they would, when I first started, we get a blank check and we kind of just had a limit and then, not a blank check, we had a limit and this is how much money you can spend, and they kind of just gave you the check, and if you didn't spend that much, you didn't spend that much. But then they realized, it's not really the best idea. It's probably not, you know, the most fiscally responsible choice. And so then they looked into that, and then you had to provide an itemized receipt. And I really think there's a lot of spending, especially in the government, because who's overseeing, right? I know that that was the responsibility of DOGE, but it doesn't seem like that's what they were doing. It just feels like they had a bunch of little kids running around doing God knows what. And although I do believe there should be, I actually think that's the one thing Elon brought, I will agree that Department of Government Efficiency, absolutely top tier and necessary. But you have to make sure, like, what are we cutting? Who, where is this money going, right? If we have trillions of debt, audit the government. Look and go through our spending, go through where that money is going. Who is it positively impact? Are we seeing a result? Instead of just chopping and slashing and making these larger determinations, go to the people that are working with you or working in, see what their day-to-day is like. Do they have like 50 printers that they don't have? Like, are they trying to rush? Like, and this is also up to the people in those departments to be honest, right? Because this is all of us working together. But are they rushing to spend their budget at the end of the year? What are they spending their budget on? And what effects are we seeing have it? Not even focusing on salaries, but items, things. And is there things that we can cut that way, right? That's what DOGE should have been focused on. Not like getting rid of things that actually the Department of Education, that shouldn't have been the slash. What should have been the slash is like going in and looking at spending and how does that correlate with what's coming in, right? And then larger contributors like consultants, what are we paying them and what are they giving back? How are they fulfilling what they are telling us that they're doing? It's just, you know, looking into the government contracts with the private sector, again, not the Department of Education, but looking at private sectors and really assessing, are we getting the bang for our buck? That's what the Department of Governmental Efficiency should have been, what it can still be. I just want to point out to our government officials that they are shooting themselves in the foot with this bill. Taking away people's insurance, limiting their wages, and affecting their living situations messing up the environment by getting rid of clean energy means, or clean energy credits means less profit for you in the future. Like I've previously said, no one wants more babies in this environment. So you're limiting your future workforce, and you might not be able, and you might not be the one that's going to be detrimentally impacted, right? A lot of you guys are a bit older, but your grandkids and great grandkids are going to be just as fucked as everyone else. And your legacy will be one of destruction and disgust instead of growth and prosperity. I recently read a New York Times article that stated, well, the reason that the Republican are pushing this bill is so that they're going full throttle ahead so that it gets so bad that they have to then make decisions and make decisions that they're maybe both parties have been putting off. Well, things are bad already. American homelessness is egregious. Cost of food is egregious. Things are already bad. So pushing something like this is pushing us towards another Great Depression. And it's going to affect, maybe it won't affect you, but it will affect everyone else. And I just hope that you are considering everyone, not just yourselves, that you're actually thinking about your constituents and the people who actually voted for you, the people whose lives might be lost due to this, the people who might suffer because you think pushing down on the acceleration key is what is going to cause change. Pushing down on acceleration is what's going to cause change. And just take a second, take a breath, and really think about what's best for the people who voted you in, what's best for the American public, and what's best for the future of America. Because some of y'all decisions, you really need to realize that some of these decisions are really affecting that global power status. So take a beat, take a breath, and make some better ones.